Chapter 13, Calyx, Pax. Max and Gage dragged old Stahl out between them. As stunned as everyone else with the bizarre loss of the Ilium, he babbled all the way.
Gone! Gone! How could they be gone?
Directing the girl by the shoulders, even though he didn't need to, Calyx took them to the side of the building where they'd parked the duos. Before going inside, Calyx commanded one in the pack to belay, in order to stay in their shadow form, out of sight. The power aura rolling off the hounds that stunned prey and enemies into helplessness wasn't something Calyx could leave unattended. Excited by the girl, five shadows surged up through the ground, rushing her like she was the good master returned. He had to hide his frown. They had never done that for him. Should not do that for anyone else. As silent as the dark, as insubstantial as mist, the girl reacted to them as if they were a group of lapdogs. Calyx didn't know what to do with the bizarre sight. The hounds were magical death bringers, not some pampered city witch's parlor puppies. The girl reached out to their shadows with a smile, petting them, scolding them. Close enough to feel the effects of the hound's magic, Stahl switched from his blubbering, shocked grief at losing so much money into gasping horror. He stopped, tried to backpedal.
No, he hissed.
Unlike Annika, Stahl behaved as Calyx expected him to, shoulders twisting, mouth opening, closing like his breath was trapped in his chest. The hound magic flickered through his weaknesses and fears. The man's babbling turned to blubbering, tears, begging, his legs folded beneath the weight of every selfish choice he'd ever made. Max and Gage let him crash to the ground. As members of Calyx's core group, his pack, his team, the men had spent enough time with Calyx to learn to deal with the hound's augury power. Faces stoic through the clammy discomfort, they allowed their guilt and shame to flow over and through them, not cripple them. Stahl had no defense against the unique and devastating aura of the hounds. It would feel as if his past had taken the face and person of a corpse, risen up from some murky shadows, and now stood before him. It wasn't something one could prepare for.
"I didn't. I'm sorry, I didn't."
"No, you're not," Annika answered. Stahl answered as if she saw what he saw. The shadows of the hellhound swirled, milling around her like restless hunting dogs. They dwarfed her. He could feel his hounds through the link on one's collar, knew where they were because of that connection. Otherwise, they were just frightening. Different shades of darkness. Max kicked at Stahl's side.
"Get up, you fool."
"What is she doing?" Gage tipped his head at the girl, confused. Annika didn't acknowledge the men. Instead, she talked to the hounds, coddling and affectionate.
"He's not sorry at all, is he, one? He's a bad man. Not that you're any better. You knew this would happen, didn't you? Didn't you, huh?"
"I didn't want this. I should hate you. You are not my boss. You don't get to boss me." The girl defied natural laws. Unseen in the dark, without the collar on one, Calyx wouldn't know where exactly the hounds were or what they were doing. Like the others, he only felt the cool kiss of their shadows and waves of dark energy as it moved. Annika's interactions with them was too much to take in. Max and Calyx didn't know what they were seeing, their faces betraying their shock, too. Calyx shook it off. Didn't matter at the moment. Later. He would find out how she did this later. "Whose daughter, Stahl?" That was a question Calyx needed answered. He had to know more about this girl. The state the hounds put the traitor in left him malleable, the door to his mind shoved open, and every vile little secret spilling out for all to see.
"It was long ago, don't you know? I didn't have any choices. You don't know what it is, what they do to you. I tried to escape them. Please, please."
Immobile with all the transgressions he'd done in his life, Stahl could barely speak.
"There are always choices, you toad. Death was a good choice for the likes of you," Annika told the man, her anger opening her mouth.
The girl had no sense of restraint. At the moment, Calyx wasn't sorry for it. The question remained, how did they know each other?
No, no, please. Stahl covered his face with his hands.
Stahl, who is Annika's mother? You said she is the witch's daughter. Who is the witch? Calyx persisted.
Witch? Sure, sure, it's long ago. I'm just a traitor. A little thief, you know. Don't mean any harm. I had to. Do you understand? Do you understand? I had to. What was I to do? Slowly starve? They wouldn't let me mingle. They wouldn't let me connect. They wouldn't let me lay with a witch because I wouldn't sign my soul over to them. No witch. I didn't know what it would be like.
Calyx grabbed the old man by the clothing at the back of his neck and forced him to stand. One answer. He just needed one. Not every wrong thing the man had ever done. He shook him. You see that little silver-haired girl there, glaring at there? Do you see her right there?
What choice did I have?
Eyes rolling, sobbing, Stahl was falling apart. A man exposed to all his wrongs and unable to face them.
Calyx, Bredonna said that a woman named Noelle is Annika's mother, Max said.
Noelle! Noelle Devine! Beautiful, lush, powerful.
Oh, Stahl moaned, as if triggered by the name.
Don't you say her name, Annika whispered heedily between her teeth.
I'm sorry, but she wanted it, didn't she? She smiled and opened herself to all of us, opened her arms every time. Mikos gave us permission, and she needed it.
Witches need it.
Needed what?
Confess, Stahl. What did you do? Calyx asked. He could guess, but he had to know more. How were these two connected?
Crying still, Stahl pleaded as if with judges, his voice weak. A man already suffering from absence, the exposure to the hound's doom further drained and sickened him.
Sure, sure, okay, okay. I paid Mikos so that I could pull some of her magic.
Use her. Paid to use her, Annika corrected.
So long since I touched a witch. I had to give him what I had. He said it was okay. She wanted it. I tell you, she wanted it. I had to share. Mikos liked to use her with us watching, but invited us to taste her. How could that be bad? The witches agree to this. They have to. They need it. She needed it and wanted it. She gave consent. It was okay. Please, please.
Still trying to justify himself, make excuses for his actions, Stahl slumped, his shoulder, guilt and shame exposed and out in the open now.
It wasn't okay, Annika said.
Stahl sucked in a breath.
She smiled. You saw us.
Calyx felt Annika's rage, an icy cold front moving over the group. What had she seen? When? What kind of messed up filth had her stepfather and this man exposed her to?
Yes, she said, but she wasn't talking to Stahl.
Shadows swirled around her. Focused on the girl's reaction to the traitor, Calyx clamped his will down on the magic he had placed around her throat, holding her still. He didn't doubt she'd jump at Stahl and start pummeling him. If she had her little blades, the man would be dead. The smallest male hound, black with a droopy ear, went solid. It happened as fast as a blink. Jumping at Snarl with the snarl, transforming into its third form mid-air, Gage and Max fell back. It never occurred to Calyx that Annika could command his fucking pack.
Down! Belay! Calyx shouted.
It's okay. He needs it, Annika said quietly in a dark, sibilant whisper that gave Calyx chills. The hound's third shape was several size bigger than Stahl. All the hound had to do was open its mouth and swallow. It happened too fast for Stahl to scream. In a single gulp, he disappeared down the maw of his judgment. No one said anything. A cricket chirped. Others joined in. Something buzzed past Calyx's ear. Stahl was gone. Now stuck in its killing shape until its meal digested, the hound padded back to Annika's side. She praised it, petting what she could reach. Oh, yes, that's a good boy, Shade. Good boy, thank you. What a good dog you are. You're such a good friend. Thank you.
What the hell kind of freak is this girl, Calyx? Gage asked into the silence as they watched her hug the leg of the beast that had just eaten a man.
Annika didn't react visibly to Gage's words, but Calyx knew she felt them just the same.
Shut your mouth, Gage.
It's not natural, Addo. Witches are terrified of the hounds. All your bespoke, they can't stand anywhere near them. Not a one of them.
And look at the girl, Gage argued.
Watch yourself, Gage, Calyx warned. It was true, but Gage was a subordinate as much as he was a friend. He didn't get a say in things.
Shit, I've never seen anyone, Addo. She told your hound to kill Stahl. I don't know what this magicker is, but she isn't a witch. You don't know what she is either. We can't take her with us. You can see she's dangerous. There are children at the compound. My wife, my children.
Growing up in the Null City, Gage didn't understand the wonders of magickers living as they pleased before unification. His null body and mind couldn't hold any energy at all, creating a deeply rooted fear for incomprehensible power, just like the rest of most of his race. Nobles believe the natural force of energy that flowed through natives should warm their houses, cook their food, and power their machines. It was just a tool. Beyond that, there was only fear.
Calyx knew of thousands of powerful, dangerous creatures spanning the globe, living in every region and climate, none of them the least bothered by Nullkind, until the world balance began to break, and they were hunted. That world would have terrified the man. They had more than one long talk about life outside of Null culture. Calyx always knew some of his men's previous prejudice lurked in their heads, but Gage begged to go with him to fight the unjust political system that controlled and manipulated everyone for its own gain. He had proved himself trustworthy in the past, earning Calyx's respect. He'd have to do it again now. Calyx gave Gage a second to think through what he was saying, meeting his eyes, silently daring the man to keep talking. Gage didn't see in Annika what Calyx saw. Fine. But he was standing there, shoulders thrown back and fists balled, questioning Calyx's decisions.
You can leave, Calyx said.
Annika popped up. Oh, can I leave too? That sounds like a really good idea. He's right. I'm just a null. I don't see any magic here. Smell any magic here? Do you? Now these doggos of yours, they're good people. Aren't you, Shade? Mind of your own. You can let me go. You see, I know how mages are. I won't be used up like my mother. I don't want your protection. I don't want to go with you to your compound.
Max whistles and laughed. Balls, girl! How do you walk around with them giant balls?
Gage's shoulders relaxed. The tension might be diffused, but Calyx wasn't going to ignore what Gage had said.
You agreed that you would not judge what you saw. I told you this world would be different.
You didn't tell me how different.
I told you you would see things. You said you could deal with all of it, that you were an Indonesian before you were null, and for your family's sake, that you wouldn't scorn any natural born, not any of them.
Gage frowned. Calyx knew he remembered their conversation. It had been years ago, with a lot of world packed in between here and there. A convert raised under the heavy hand of the Proctor's unification and new laws of balance, Calyx had known that the man would have had to face his learned ideas. Born a worker, his family shaped iron with other industries on the docks. But when he saw how the First Order used low-level witches and mages of machine parts instead of people, he started to form opinions of his own that didn't agree with the Proctor's idea of balance. Gage liked magic kind, but Annika turned his worldview upside down. The unexpected girl turned all their worldviews upside down. She kept doing the impossible and denying it. talking to the hounds in a one-sided argument. Her youth and nervousness was betrayed in the busy way her hands moved. She wasn't unaffected by what she'd done and what Gage said as she wanted to be. In exchange, you would provide us with safety, Gage nodded at Annika. The girl wears my collar. She's mine. Therefore, she is safe. Just like I own your bond. Are you still mine? 100 things flashed before Gage's eyes as he remembered other conversations.
What? I keep telling you I belong to myself, Annika objected. Her declaration rang down the streets and alleys of Little Indio, the volume too high for the nature of the conversation.
Gage winced. Calyx gave her a smile. It's time to go. Come here. As fluid as a dancer, she came to him. The expression on her face told him that her natural response would have included mulish, rebellious stomping, but the collar wouldn't let her body express that much. The pack watched. One vocalized throat noises Calyx had never heard before. He didn't know she could sound like that. Annika answered over her shoulder. It's not funny. Hush you. I'm not talking to you. This is your fault. The girl talked to them. Understood them? She could do more than just command them. Irritated by the proof, Calyx shouted, Belay! Four of the animals melted to shadow and into the ground, except for the one who had recently killed. Shadow's ears were perked, and it stood waiting for a command. You'll have to just run, then. You'll be okay, Annika said to the hound before Calyx could say anything. The tail wagged as it looked at her. It wagged. Max grinned at the scene, shaking his head. Gage turned away, walking to his duo, not saying anything. Calyx had collared an oddly powerful witchling, connected his will to hers. There was a chance she was the answer to a promise he'd given in exchange for a second life, the answer to everything he'd been looking for a very long time. Or she was something else. A witch with the loyalty of his pack in the palm of her little hand. An unknown that could destroy plans he'd spent years building. Could destroy him. He didn't know. Couldn't know. Pointing to the duos, he led her to his machine. She looked it over, mouth puckered, eyes narrowed. How could a woman who couldn't hide one single thought hide so many other aspects of herself? Who was this girl? Chapter 14, Annika. That's next, and I'm not going to read it. Thank you so much if you hung around to listen to this. I don't have any updates right now, other than I need to get writing on this book, and the chapters are going to come slower. If you are listening somewhere on the internet world, on Podbean, on Apple, online, on Audible, on Spotify, wherever you're listening, if you're listening to the podcast, I'm going to be reading one chapter at a time from now on, and they will be coming a little slower because I've got to get writing. Thank you for your encouragement. I appreciate you. Hey y'all, so I just finished a live, which had maybe two people, I don't know. I don't do very good at the lives, using the new TikTok or the TikTok studio, so I don't even know if I'm using it right. Glare of glasses. I don't even know if I'm using it right, but I finished it, and I went 36 minutes, so I think that might give me permanent access. I don't know how it works. Do I want permanent access? I don't know. I am reading aloud one of my works in progress, and you can't, I'm only doing it live on TikTok because I edit them and then put them on my podcast. Link in the, you know that thing with my picture, the bio thing. Yeah, link there. And you can listen there. And a couple people are listening, like two. And you're welcome to come along and critique as you listen. This book has a lot of issues. There's a lot of information that doesn't need to be there. It needs some heavy editing. I have a great editor. I got to get some money. Anyways, so I'm working on this book. It's my work in progress, and you can listen to it if you want to hear me read it badly, over dramatic, flubs everywhere. If you want to hear me read it, you can read it on all over Podbean, Audible, any kind of podcasting station. Oh, good Lord. I think you can read it on Amazon. What's her name? You know, you can say, hey, go to It's Well and Pause, but podcast. If you go to Amazon, it's listed. So that's cool. That makes me feel famous. I got one review, so not, but you know. Yeah, so I'm reading a story, and I invite you to sit with me. Bring some coffee.